Hello, all my listening friends. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to the Financial Framework Show today. If you're out there in the car, make sure you keep your focus on being safe. If you miss anything on the show today, the shows are all archived on the Financial Framework Show website for you to listen to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Last week, we had some great questions, and I'm looking forward to talking to you and discussing different issues about debt and retirement, or money and how it relates to your lives. The call-in number is 1-800-732-6458. Again, the call-in number is 1-800-732-6458, or you can call the WGAA radio station at 770-748-1340. That's 770-748-1340. And remember, there is no such thing as a dumb question. The only dumb question is the one you don't ask. My goal for everyone who listens to the Financial Framework Show each week is for you to get out of debt and retire with dignity. Before we begin taking calls each week, I usually open up with a short talk about current issues that affects our lives, or I let you in on some secrets about money that the banks and mortgage companies don't want you to know. But today, I'm going to actually have a name for this first part of the show, and we will call it the future. I want you to think about this. The life that you have today, the family that you have, the financial situation that you're in is a direct correlation to the decisions you made in the past. You will often hear me say this. Even the smallest mistakes that you make today will be magnified many times over in the future. I have tried to stress this to my grandchildren over the past several years because it could be something real small and what appears to be harmless that winds up being such a burden or a tragedy in the future. This is not money related, for an example, but if you were at a restaurant having dinner with some friends or maybe a Super Bowl party enjoying the game, what if you had something to drink? Most people have the opinion they can drink with no problems. And then you proceed to get out on the road and attempt to drive home. Being just slightly impaired can really cloud your judgment, and your reflexes are not nearly as quick. Now let's assume that you had a wreck, and you hurt or maybe killed someone. Now think about this. That drink or those drinks were in fun, I guess, and you were caught up in the moment. And you would have never imagined that your decision at that time to have some fun could later on that evening turn into tragedy. That one lapse in judgment, that one mistake, could have everlasting results not only for you and your family, but for the other people and families affected by the accident. And as time goes on, so does results from your mistake. What if that person who was killed had children? They will now grow up without their parent. They will suffer every day of their lives, and it will carry on for generations. You would have robbed them of their memories, thoughts, wishes, dreams, just so you could have some fun. That one mistake, that one lapse in judgment, whether you consider it big or small, is now magnified many times over today and forever. Now let's change gears. The Financial Framework Show is mainly about money and retirement. So let's assume that you made the decision that you wanted some new furniture or electronics for your home. Let's also assume that you have not saved up to purchase the items. So you purchased the items using credit cards with full intentions of paying them off as quickly as possible. Well, you know as well as I do, most of the time good intentions don't always turn out the way we intend for them to turn out. So guess what happens? We begin to make monthly payments on the credit cards and enjoy our new items. Then, for some reason, we catch another fever and we decide to buy more items, and you also put them on credit cards. This happens to most people, and over the next years and even decades, we make payments on these items. And the dishonest banks and credit card companies, they raise interest rates, they figure out bogus ways to hit you with fees and penalties, and you seem to never make any progress paying off those nasty cards. The furniture and electronics are a thing of the past. That sofa didn't last, and that new TV just quit one day. But you're still making payments each and every month on them. So once again, since you have not saved up to buy what you need, you go out and you replace what is wore out and you continue to add on these cards. While all of this is going on, you also purchased a car or two and also finance them. And at some point, you wake up and realize you barely have enough coming in just to make debt payments, and you wind up finding it hard to eat and buy gasoline. I think this explains things pretty well. This is about the situation that most Americans are currently in. Now, let's first look at the small mistake or mistakes that you made, which were when you made the decision to buy things on credit and you didn't wait until you had saved up for the purchases. Then, Since we don't quite understand that we're messing up, we continue to make the same mistakes over and over again. But in the future, we wind up over our heads and we struggle just to survive. The mistakes that we made several years ago continue to compound and become more costly, both in dollars and cents and also in health and relationships. Think about it. When that little girl or guy decided to marry you, you both loved each other and you took your wedding vows. You made a promise to God that you would stick by each other in sickness and in health until death do you part. But now, because you decided that you needed that new flat screen television or she just loves shoes and has to have several pairs each week added to all the other things that were bought on credit, that loving feeling is watered down by the pressure just to stay afloat and survive. And if you ever get behind on those credit cards, if you're even a day late on sending those payments, the bill collectors start to ring your phone and they are relentless. They call from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., one after the other, never letting up. You finally make the decision not to answer the phone, but the calls just keep coming in. And as time passes on, that couple that once loved each other, that enjoyed being around each other, that had dreams and visions of a bright and wonderful future, is now fading fast. Then he or she is at work and someone says something nice like, "You sure are pretty," or "You sure are handsome," and before you know it, you think that you can see on the other side of that fence and you tell yourself, "Wow, that grass looks green over there." And before you know it, even more mistakes are made. But this time, even bigger mistakes that will have everlasting consequences, and it all started with bad financial decisions and letting your wants get in the way of your needs and common sense. Time passes on and you grow further and further apart. Your children watch as you and your spouse change right before their eyes. The financial pressure that started this unfortunate situation is now going to take its toll on your children. They are the ones who will ultimately pay the price for those financial decisions, or mistakes as I like to call them, and your children had nothing to do with the decision or the process. Now, I'm not going into what their lives would be like due to all of this. It's hard for me to relive all that I thought and felt and went through when my parents decided to split up. I'll save those thoughts for another day. But those mistakes, the decision to use credit cards to buy things you probably didn't need in the first place, will be magnified many times over in the future. I just wish that I could make people understand that they need to really think about what they're doing and their actions. I hate to say it, but most people are totally selfish and self-centered, and I'll probably receive some emails and phone calls about these remarks, but it is the truth. Now, let me ask you, if you're contemplating buying some stuff, like a new car or something that you really don't need in the first place, and you've not saved up money to make the purchases, would you take a few minutes to ponder the future and try to look at the consequences maybe 5 or 10 years down the road, like that lawnmower you're about to buy this spring and charge it? Think about the fact you'll still be paying on it years after it won't even start. Think about the car you currently have. Would it be much easier for you to make some repairs on it than it would for you to lock yourself into a $400 or $500 payment each month for 5 or 6 years? Will you take the time to reevaluate your decision to purchase things on credit? Will you do this for yourself, your family, your future? I sure hope so. And I hope that you will think about all of this. And another way to look at this is when you decided to buy that flat screen TV, you probably looked everywhere for the best deal. You went online and you finally found the best TV at the best price. Then you went and you put it on a stinking credit card. Now, let's assume that flat screen cost you $1,000. Let's also assume that you're paying 29% on that credit card. And don't worry, because if you're paying currently 8 or 12% right now, you will be paying 29% or higher before you know it. So paying 29% on that TV adds roughly another $290. So now you're actually going to pay $1,290 for that flat screen. And that is if you pay it off in 12 months, because if not, the actual price of the flat screen will then continue to rise. So the moral of the story is that if you're going to buy something and put it on a stinking credit card, then why waste your time looking for a bargain? Why not just buy the first one that you see, because you're going to pay for it many times over anyway? And I know this sounds harsh, but we have got to wake up. We have got to use our heads and stop doing dumb things. Using a credit card is worse than playing Russian roulette. You're going to be hit by their dishonesty. There is no empty chamber when you use a credit card, because they will win every time. And I've tried to make the point that when you make a mistake, that it will take you in the wrong direction, a mistake that could be one of huge ramifications with everlasting consequences. I hope you understand the importance of your decisions, and I want to also talk to you about what happens if you make good decisions. I mean, thank goodness when we do something right, when we make good decisions and put forth good effort, it is also magnified many times over in the future. When Teresa and I had those three children and a mortgage by the time we were 19 years old, we were basically two children raising three more children. But because of the way that both of us were raised and due to a lot of God's favor and blessings, we either knew what to do or we figured it out along the way. I guess I understood the premise that if I made mistakes raising my children, that it would create a path of no return, that not only would they pay the price, but Teresa and I would also. Now, a lot of people early on looked at our situation and they let us know that we were making a big mistake getting married that young and having children one after the other. And it could have been very easy to let their predictions come true. But we knew what we were doing, we loved each other, and we were determined to make it work. And you wouldn't believe how hard it was for us. I worked so many hours, I worked 7 days a week, and a lot of times I would not even remember how I got home. And then can you just imagine a teenage girl with three children almost in diapers at the same time? We had bill collectors calling, we had things turned off, we struggled just to survive. But we didn't get into the financial mess because we were splurging or wasting money. We had nothing when we got started. How much could a couple that young have starting off? We had no money. We needed a refrigerator, so we put it on a credit card that was sent to us. And you know, we probably paid $10,000 for that $300 refrigerator before we finally got it paid off. And back then, we were like the rest of America. We knew nothing about money. We knew that we could make it if we worked hard, but we didn't know how to manage it. And remember, we were taught how to dissect frogs in high school, not how to set up a family budget or to make it in life financially. We quickly found ourselves in a financial mess. Think about it. We started off behind the eight ball, or really under the table. So the reason I'm telling you this is no matter where you are financially and no matter how you got there, whether you think you have a good excuse or you just made some wrong decisions, some mistakes, all you have to do is make up your mind that you're not going to make any more of those mistakes or bad financial decisions and that you can work yourself out of whatever situation that you've gotten yourself into. Now, let me get back on track. Teresa and I were having all these financial issues, but we decided that the kids didn't need to worry about something that they couldn't do anything about or prevent. So, when we did lose our cool and have our arguments about money, that's about all we ever argued about, we always, and I mean always, waited until they were either in bed or outside playing before we showed any aggravation towards one another. We did such a good job with this that our oldest child, Tony, she made a comment a few years ago that her brother and sister, they thought we were rich. Now, for the life of me, I don't know why in the world they could have thought this or how in the world they could have thought this, but evidently they did. And I realize that you didn't tune in to the Financial Framework Show today to listen to me talk about my family, but I want to use our experiences, both good and bad, to make some points for you to think about. And I know this sounds harsh, but we have got to wake up. We have got to use our heads and stop doing dumb things. Using a credit card is worse than playing Russian roulette. You're going to be hit by their dishonesty. There is no empty chamber when you use a credit card because they will win every time. And I've tried to make the point that when you make a mistake, that it will take you in the wrong direction, a mistake that could be one of huge ramifications with everlasting consequences. I hope you understand the importance of your decisions, and I want to also talk to you about what happens if you make good decisions. I mean, thank goodness when we do something right, when we make good decisions and put forth good effort, it is also magnified many times over in the future. When Teresa and I had those three children and a mortgage by the time we were 19 years old, we were basically two children raising three more children. But because of the way that both of us were raised and due to a lot of God's favor and blessings, we either knew what to do or we figured it out along the way. I guess I understood the premise that if I made mistakes raising my children, that it would create a path of no return, that not only would they pay the price, but Teresa and I would also. Now, a lot of people early on looked at our situation and they let us know that we were making a big mistake getting married that young and having children one after the other. And it could have been very easy to let their predictions come true. But we knew what we were doing, we loved each other, and we were determined to make it work. And you wouldn't believe how hard it was for us. I worked so many hours, I worked 7 days a week, and a lot of times I would not even remember how I got home. And then can you just imagine a teenage girl with three children almost in diapers at the same time? We had bill collectors calling, we had things turned off, we struggled just to survive. But We didn't get into the financial mess because we were splurging or wasting money. We had nothing when we got started. How much could a couple that young have starting off? We had no money. We needed a refrigerator, so we put it on a credit card that was sent to us. And you know, we probably paid $10,000 for that $300 refrigerator before we finally got it paid off. And back then, we were like the rest of America. We knew nothing about money. We knew that we could make it if we worked hard, but we didn't know how to manage it. And remember, we're taught how to dissect frogs in high school, not how to set up a family budget or to make it in life financially. We quickly found ourselves in a financial mess. Think about it. We started off behind the eight ball, or really under the table. So the reason I'm telling you this is, no matter where you are financially and no matter how you got there, whether you think you have a good excuse or you just made some wrong decisions, some mistakes, all you have to do is make up your mind that you're not going to make any more of those mistakes or bad financial decisions, and that you can work yourself out of whatever situation that you've gotten yourself into. Now, let me get back on track. Teresa and I were having all these financial issues, but we decided that the kids didn't need to worry about something that they couldn't do anything about or prevent. So, when we did lose our cool and have our arguments about money, that's about all we ever argued about, we always, and I mean always, waited until they were either in bed or outside playing before we showed any aggravation towards one another. We did such a good job with this that our oldest child, Tony, she made a comment a few years ago that her brother and sister, they thought we were rich. Now, for the life of me, I don't know why in the world they could have thought this or how in the world they could have thought this, but evidently they did. And I realize that you didn't tune in to the Financial Framework Show today to listen to me talk about my family, but I want to use our experiences, both good and bad, to make some points for you to think about. Now, for the listeners in Cedartown and the surrounding areas, the Rolling Hills Baptist Church is putting on the Financial Framework Seminar. The contact person is Jason Slaughter, and his phone number is 770-639-1754. Again, Jason's number is 770-639-1754. Call Jason if you have any questions about Rolling Hills Baptist Church. Now, there will be a preview meeting held on Wednesday, February 24th at 7 p.m., and another one on Saturday morning, February 27th at 11 a.m. Now, the preview meetings will last about 30 minutes, and you will have the opportunity to look at the system and decide if you want the personalized Equity Creator Financial Blueprint as your roadmap, or do you want to continue your debt football game with no goal lines, as we've talked about in the past. Remember, the blueprint will give you the exact month and year that you can be totally, completely debt-free, including your mortgage, while spending your same current monthly payments. Now, I'm planning on being at the Saturday morning preview meeting, and I look forward to meeting each and every one of you and playing a part in your quest to become debt-free. Invite all your friends and neighbors to experience the wonderful feeling of knowing when they can be debt-free. This is so powerful, it's absolutely life-changing. Now, I think that Dallas, Georgia is about as far east as the WGAA radio signal extends. So if you can hear this message there, there's another church in Dallas that's also running the seminar. It's the Fortified Hills Baptist Church off of 120. Preview dates are Wednesday, February 24th at 6 p.m. and on Sunday, February 28th, right after the second service around noon. Now, I think lunch will be provided for this one, and the actual seminar will begin on Wednesday night, March the 3rd, and the same session will also be held again on Saturday mornings. This will give you some added flexibility in attending the sessions. Now, I'm hoping to be at both of these preview meetings, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you at one or both of these events. The contact person for this seminar is Mark Fricks. His number is 678-363-7267. Again, his number is 678-363-7267. I honestly feel that this could be the most important financial decision you'll ever make. You know, for more than 15 years, I have been on a mission, and I have seen and heard many amazing testimonies, and I hope that you will add your story to those memories. Now, we need to take a break and come back to some phone calls and emails that have come in, so the call-in number once again is 1-800-732-6458. Again, the call-in number is 1-800-732-6458, or you can call the WGAA radio station at 770-748-1340. That's 770-748-1340, and we'll be back in just a minute.
This is the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. I'm Frank Burgess, Jr., along with Steve today. And you can call us at 1-800-732-6458. If you have a question for Steve, and Steve, we got several emails that we need to get to some of those while people may be calling in.
Yeah, let's get started here. Good afternoon. This is one from Robert. It says, Steve, after hearing you talk about credit cards on WGAA, I began thinking about debt that my wife and I have. We are both working and have no problems paying our bills. My wife feels that if you work hard, you should be able to shop hard. She continually uses us to store cards for her three favorite stores. We also have a mortgage, car payments, two other credit cards, and a personal loan. We have about 20 years until we retire. I'm trying to find a way to show my wife where we are financially and where we need to be by retirement. Do you have any suggestions? Well, that's real simple, Robert. The Financial Framework seminar that we offer, it has a blueprint, and it comes with a financial blueprint that will detail this, every bit of it, out for you. It'll give you the month, day, and year you'll be debt-free, and it'll show you exactly where your money's going, and it'll show you and your wife, especially your wife, how important it's going to be for you to be debt-free. And I'll tell you what I'll do, Robert. I will send you a fact finder, and I will personally give you a blueprint to help you and your wife on this, because
and the blueprint will help them know where they are right now and where they can be if they'll follow the blueprint.
Spending the same money. Yeah, and not only.
And then once they get their debts paid off, they'll have a lot of money that she can shop with.
I mean, she'll. And what would happen, though, is in the process, Robert, I hope your wife's not listening today, because what would happen in this process, and if you run the blueprint, she would wind up probably changing her mind about the way she does shop and things, because getting out of debt and having that get out of debt date is so important. And then once you accomplish that, I think that it's going to make you feel so good that you're not really going to want to go out and shop and do a lot of other really aggressive things. So, but if you'll, I've got your email address here. I will send you a fact finder myself, and then so you can have a blueprint. And if you get a chance, and evidently you must live in the Cedartown area, come to the Rolling Hills Baptist Church, because we're running a seminar there. And it comes with a financial blueprint. It comes with the financial life book. It comes with audio CDs.
You give them a 3-ring binder that outlines everything they need to do. And if they'll follow that plan, then they'll be out of debt.
They'll be totally out of debt
at some point in the future.
And if they have trouble following the plan that's included in the seminar, then we even have a bill paying service where we even send the checks for them. So, I mean, people are guaranteed to be out of debt. It's a real deal. Well, let's cover some of these emails while we have some time, Frank. There's one that came in that says, Steve, our church has never run a seminar like the one that you talk about. We have about 600 members that show up regularly, and our tithing is down, and it looks like we're going to have to lay off some staff. The pastor's wife has had to go back to work. She's a teacher and been off for 25 years. What is the procedure to get your seminar into our church? I'm a deacon and have the pastor's ear. What is the next step? And this is from Frank in Tampa, Florida. And this is pretty interesting, because tithing is down nationwide, somewhere between 20% and 30%. I've seen different reports on that, and the reason tithing is down is because members, they're struggling to survive. Credit cards are maxed. The banks are raising interest rates and cutting their limits. They borrowed the equity out of their houses. And the problem with them borrowing the money out of the homes, when they borrowed the money out of the homes, the home prices were inflated. And so now the prices of the homes are deflated. And so a lot of people are even upside down in their homes. So we've not saved any money. So there's a lot of reasons why that tithing is down. But like Frank had made the comment, that's the truth, that people don't have faith like they should have faith, and a lot of times tithing is the first thing they will slack up on or cut out. So I'm glad that you realize that something needs to be done, and I want you to email us or give us a call, and we'll send you everything that you need to present the Financial Framework Seminar to your pastor. I have your email address here. I'll send you a fact finder, and what I want you to do on the fact finder is I want you to make sure that your pastor fills out one of these on his personal
personal situation so that he can, on his personal situation, so that he can know the exact month and year he can be debt free. And then this is going to help him then with the belief and the excitement of running a seminar, you know, at your church.
If you get the pastor or the somebody else in the administration at the church involved, someone on the staff to believe that the financial framework network can help out, then you've got most of it whipped then, don't you?
You've got it whipped. And as far as your church with 600 members, just imagine if you had the majority of the congregation, if they only were giving 3%, if they were only tithing 3%, and then would work towards the 10, what could happen? So I will get you the information that you need, Frank, to get the seminar started at your church. And I will also, next week, I'm going to give you some numbers next week, some results from some of the seminars. It's just now finishing up the financial framework classes, because this is also going to help you when you're trying to talk to the pastors and get the seminar into the churches.
Now, I've heard you give some numbers in the past, and it's astonishing to me how much debt there is among local churches. We've got a call on the line. Let's go see who we got. Good afternoon. This is the Financial Framework Program. You're on the air with Steve Barfield.
Hi, Steve. This is Regina.
Yes, ma'am.
I've got two questions.
Yes, ma'am.
One is, where is the best place to put your emergency fund if you're having to use it little by little because your husband's unemployed?
Well, what you would want to do, Regina, is first off, understand, it sounds like you do, that emergency fund is not a give and take fund. It's something that you use for emergencies, such as when your husband's out of work. So the best place to put an emergency fund is in a money market account at your bank, or preferably a credit union. You can also go online to ING Direct. They have the Orange account. That's also a good place. But just remember, be as frugal as you can with this money you're pulling out of your emergency fund, and make sure that you also try to put as much of it back in as you possibly can, and make sure that your husband is right on top of this with you, because if you're trying to manage it and he's out of work and he's not watching what's going on, you know, you'll wind up in trouble. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's one of my biggest problems. I try to explain to him that, you know, that we don't have the money to do, like, to live and to go out to eat and like we used to, and I try to stress to him, but then I don't want to stress him out too much, because I don't want to hurt his pride with him being out of work.
Well, that's really important, because he's already feeling like he's not the man of the house anymore, probably, so, and he's not holding up his end of the deal. But there's a lot of people, Regina, out here today that's in the same situation. I'm just glad that you are on top of this and understand his feelings. But then again, we've got to get him involved in this, and you know, it sounds like y'all are going to be okay.
I am thankful that we have had, do have a small emergency fund, but, you know, I keep trying to stress to him one day, you know, the well does go dry.
Yes, ma'am. That's exactly right. And you had another question, you said?
My other question was, how do I know if I've got enough life insurance, what kind of life insurance, and then the kind that we do have, we don't have any children at home anymore. It's just me and him. And the kind that we do have has accumulated a little bit of money in it. So I'm not sure if it's not whole life. I don't know what it's called.
It's probably universal life, and it could be variable universal life. But if your children are out on their own, people have different opinions. I've always had the opinion, and actually the Bible tells you that you're supposed to leave inheritance to your children, and insurance is really an inexpensive way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So to actually know how much you need, the blueprint that you hear me talk about on the radio,
uh-huh,
it actually provides all that information for you. And like I did with this email I had a minute ago, if you'll actually send me an email, I will send you a fact finder, and I will do you a blueprint myself, which will tell you exactly how much insurance you need. And
okay.
Steve Barfield at financialframeworkseminar.com. Steve.
Okay, and I can just email that to you, and you'll respond.
I'll send you a fact finder, and then what you'll do then is you'll build the blueprint, and you put your information in. And this would also probably be a great tool for you to show your husband.
Yeah.
Because it's going to lay everything out in a real nice format for you, and it's also going to tell you how soon you can have your mortgage and all your debts paid off.
Yeah. He's kind of clueless.
Well, it's usually that way in a house. Usually one or the other. Because if you think about it, if both people were on top of the money and everything, just marriages don't work that way.
Yeah.
I remember early on when I was doing a seminar, there was a young couple that was there, and they had they were 22, 23 years old, been married a couple of years, and they were telling me that both of them pay the bills, and I just kind of thought to myself, well, that won't last long.
Yeah.
Either that or one of you won't last long, because I just don't work that way.
Right. I just try to tell him, but not tell him to where we're dying, but you know, the boat does have a hole in it, and two, he's been real hard headed. He won't go and file for unemployment.
Well, he needs to do that, because that's why you pay the money in, you know, to be able to get the benefit whenever you need it. Now, it don't sound like he's the type that would abuse it either, so you know, he should definitely.
He's never filed for unemployment.
Yeah, and so he should definitely go and do that. But now, if also let us know where you're at when you send the email, because they're happening often that people go through it two or three times just to.
Do you have to pay each time?
Once you become a member, you're a member.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was a good call.
Really good call.
She covered a lot of stuff there.
Yep, she sure did.
And, you know, I hadn't thought about life insurance in the way she was talking about it either.
Well, believe me, life insurance is one of the cornerstones when it comes to a real financial plan, and people need to have their insurance in order because, like you'll hear me often say, that if something happens to one of the breadwinners and the breadwinner bails out on the other, it's not on purpose, but then again, the one that's left behind, they've got all the financial responsibilities left on them, but also dealing with the loss of the loved one. So it's really a hard thing, and this is all covered in the Financial Framework Seminar.
Okay, Steve, we're right up next to a break. We'll be back. Okay, we're back with Steve Barfield on the Financial Framework Show, and we've got a caller on line one. Let's go see who we are talking to. Good afternoon. This is the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield.
I'm Richard from Clayton, Tennessee, and I'd like to share with Steve some of the results there of the seminar that we have going on at North Cleveland Church of God.
Okay, Richard.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm kind of a number cruncher. And one thing I like about the program Steve has is that it's not smoke and mirrors. It's the real thing there in terms of actual dollars and cents. And I have some of the results back there from the first 10 families that turned in their data sheet there to get their financial blueprint done.
Right.
Well, I don't comprehend large numbers. So what I did, I broke it down on a daily basis.
Right.
And the information that we have that came from the people, fact finders, is that we save them an average of 14.7 months of time not in debt. In other words, getting them out, you know, 40-60% of the time ahead of time.
Right.
We saved them an average of 158 and a half months of payments there. And what this amounted to was an average of the couples that were there saving them 4,021 days in debt. What that amounted to there was a savings of $96 a day there in terms of what we could save them, in terms of $9.72 was potential interest savings per day, $69.20 was savings in terms of not getting ahead and not having to make payments,
right,
$69.20. And then at retirement, you know, once they get out of debt, they can start chunking money in their retirement programs.
Right.
And this amounted to $17.08 a day. So if you total up those three figures there, that amounts to $96 a day. If you would take a church that had 100 families in the program.
Right.
What that would amount to, would, if the 100 families got on the program, they could save the congregation $9,600 a day.
Well, do me a favor, Richard. Do you have the bigger numbers that's not broken down like this?
Yes. Interest savings is $468,000.
Now, is this
that's just on 10 families, right?
Okay, say it again now. 10 families.
Okay. It was an average of $46,868.49.
Per family.
Oh, interest savings.
Per family. Okay. But monthly payments, in other words, getting them out of a debt earlier where they're not making payments.
Right.
It averaged per family $333,589.85. It made a difference there per family of at retirement $823,568.91.
And what about years saved? Because I know you gave me another number a minute ago on months.
Total 132 years and 1 month.
132 years, 10 families. That's a big deal. I mean, that is.
Well, that's an average of 13 years a family. I mean, they'll be out of debt 13 years before they
would have been.
Yeah.
And of course, all this is done. I do know this: spending the same amount of money.
Yes.
That's huge. That is huge. Well, Richard, that's awesome.
Well, Richard, your first comment was that the Financial Framework Program is not smoke and mirrors; it is the real thing.
It's actual dollars and cents on the individualized basis.
And you can actually see it making a difference in people's lives right in front of you, right?
Oh, I'll tell you what, hey, every week that we meet, people get more and more excited.
Well, that's great. So you're not having a lot of drop-off?
Oh, no. Actually, we picked up people.
Well, that's good. Well,
when you get excited, other people tend to get excited, too.
That's exactly right.
And that's when you can add to your numbers.
Well, I know that we try to do the financial victory dinners. Make sure that I get the information on that, Richard, because I'll be at that dinner to meet those people, okay?
Fantastic. And we have the excellent cooks up here, too.
Oh, excellent cooks. Well, I like to eat. And this is North Cleveland Church of God.
Cleveland, Tennessee.
Cleveland, Tennessee. Okay, good deal. Okay, that's great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Richard.
Wow.
That was a great call. And he did the program for you there, I think.
I tell you what, I could just go on home. Yeah, that was awesome.
Awesome. That's where my daddy's from, too, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Well, that's a beautiful town. And that's that church is on Lee University campus. That's just a great, great town. I've got another email from Renee in Huntsville, Alabama. And this one's funny. She says, how did you get married so young and make it financially? And do you think that you could possibly do this in today's economic climate? And I hope this is not too personal. Well, Renee, that is an interesting question, and I could probably take the rest of the day and explain it to you, but I will be real brief. We got married real young because my parents had gotten a divorce when I was around 13. Teresa's father was a chemist for Borden's, and he was being transferred. So I talked to her on the phone one night and asked her to get married, and she said yes. And so we went through the process.
And y'all were like 13 or something.
Well, no, we're 15. We wasn't 13. You know, this is Georgia. No, but we did. And of course, she lives in Alabama. We did go to Alabama and get married, but we got married and had three children by the time we were 19. So what I'll get you to do, Renee, is probably go to the website and look, because there's some video and also a lot of this information. But I do want to answer your question that do you think you could do it in today's economic climate? And the answer would be probably, because it wasn't easy then and it wouldn't be easy now.
It's never easy.
It's never easy, and that's the message. And as long as one or both is willing to work and put forth all the effort that they need to put forth, then anything can be accomplished. And so I wouldn't want to try to do it in today's time, but I would definitely think it would work. And I really appreciate the email. That's an interesting thought you had there. And give us a call sometimes, Renee. Thanks.
All right. We've got somebody on the phone line. And good afternoon. You're on the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield.
Hi, my name's John, and I was listening to the show earlier. And how am I supposed to be able to pay cash?
Okay, well, first off, do you run on a budget?
Not Not really. I just, you know, deposit my paychecks. And
well, you're like everybody else pretty much. And so whether you realize it or not, you are running on a budget. So the first thing I would do is I would start a budget. And once again, if you will email me, I will send you the EC budgeting system, the paper version of it. And that way you can start tracking your expenses and the monies that you have coming in. And that way you'll know where your monies are going out. But let me go back to the shoes and the clothes business. Do you see your feet hanging through the bottom of the shoes? I mean, is the leather wore out or?
No, it's not like that. It's not that bad. It's just that,
okay.
If I'm out somewhere and I see something I want, I just, you know, pull out the credit card.
Well, seriously, you know, that's the issue there is, you know, you're letting your wants get in front of your needs, and you need to really try to tone that back a lot. And like your clothes, of course, today you can wear clothes with your knees hanging out of the pants, but
we see plenty of that, don't we?
Yeah. One of the things that you have to want is you've got to want to be out of debt.
That's
too.
Exactly right. You've got to want it. You've got to want it or it's not going to happen. And it sounds like you like stuff. And if you like stuff, you've got to make the decision. Of course, I don't know how old you are, but, you know, you need to do the math on it. You need to try to figure out what age you want to retire, what you're going to need. And you can't retire with debt. So I don't know if I've helped you out or not, but you really need to tone back the buying of things unless you need it. And you need to work on putting some money back and paying cash with it. I'll tell you, it will make a... it'll make a big difference in your life.
Well, I'm still kind of a little confused on how am I supposed to. You said you send me a paper budget. What? I've never used the budget, so I'm not even.
Well, you would just, I'll send you the EC budgeting system. It's in a paper format, and you will just, you'll need to open up a second checking account, and you will need to put your information in for the bills that you have, your mortgage, your car payments, credit cards, and those type debts will go into the new account. Everything that's left over will go into the Budget B account. And by splitting up the money and splitting up the paycheck as it comes in each month, your pile of money in your existing account, because there's no bills in it, it's just lifestyle expenses, because that pile of money is smaller, then that's going to be a much better, easier amount of money to manage. So that's the first process. And then after that, then you could actually do the online version of it. But let's get started with the paper version of it first. But the thing about it is, do you actually want to get out of debt? I mean, do you think that you could curve back wanting to buy the shoes and the clothes and the other stuff, or do you think it's...
Well, the thing is, I've never really even thought about it.
Well, I would start thinking about it, and I guess listening to the show has probably made you think more about it, and I'm glad of that, because people are in trouble, and our country's in trouble, and unless we do something about it pretty fast, it's going to be a mess. And like you hear me talk about the government debt.
Yeah, the... most families kind of mirror what the federal government has done. We're just in so much debt, we don't know how to get out of it.
Right. Well, it's kind of like we're supposed to be in debt, and that's just not the case. So if you'll email me, I'll send you the budget. And
okay,
then,
give him your web address once again.
It's Steve Barfield at financialframeworkseminar.com. It's financialframeworkseminar.com. And then I'll send you some information. And then what area do you live?
I live over in Brockmart.
Okay, well, the Rolling Hills Baptist Church is holding the seminar. The preview dates are the 24th, I think, and the 27th. I'll make sure I send you that information, okay?
I appreciate that.
I can't save America from debt myself. I need everyone who will participate to help me with this most important quest. Encourage your friends and relatives to listen to the show and be a part of Saving America. In the past, we've given you some information about the churches around the country that are running the Financial Framework Seminar. Earlier, I gave you the reports of two, one in Cedartown and one in Dallas, Georgia. But due to the amount of time that it takes, and as more and more churches sign on to host a seminar, we have put the information on the website. You can find it at the bottom of the main page under the church registration tab. Find a church in your area and attend the Financial Framework preview meeting. A preview meeting, once again, will last about 30 minutes, and you'll be shown how the Financial Framework Seminar is similar to the other seminars being offered, and then how the Financial Framework Seminar is different. The Financial Framework Seminar comes with a real plan and the tools that can make your quest to become debt-free much
much easier. You can also go to the Financial Framework Seminar website and learn more about the seminar. The web address is www.financialframeworkseminar.com. That is www.financialframeworkseminar.com. And if you can't find a church in your area, maybe you can get us in touch with someone at your church. We can contact them and see if they would consider putting on the Financial Framework Seminar, which to a point is similar to the other financial seminars that are taught in churches, but the Financial Framework Seminar comes with a personalized plan that tells you the exact month and year that you can be debt-free. The average family, once again, you've heard me say this before, becomes debt-free in as little as 8 to 12 years, and this is accomplished while spending their same current monthly payments. You don't have to sell your stuff or suffer any more than you're already suffering. Being in debt is tough enough. Being in debt is hard, and it's hard to get out of debt. But the Financial Framework Seminar and its incredible tools makes it much easier than trying to figure it out on your own. No one is as serious about saving America from debt than we are. And I think you will see this once you have attended the seminar. And let me give a message directly to the pastors and deacons that are listening today. I know that nationwide, tithing is down between 20 and 30%. I also know that it is not a heart thing. Your congregations, they want to give, and they want to give all they can. It's a budget and a debt issue. And unless you address the problem, unless you hit it right on the head, unless you fix it, next year is going to be even worse. Your congregations, they need a plan. They need to have their financial ducks in a row. Once this happens, your churches will be overwhelmed with giving from its members. Give us a call or go to the website, because if you do nothing, a lot of people will pay the price. And as you will hear me often say, even the smallest mistakes that you make today will be magnified many times over in the future. Get in touch with us and let's fix this problem. And always pray for our brave soldiers around the world that are sacrificing for our freedom and way of life. And don't forget about their families who are also giving us a piece of their lives each and every day to make us safe and secure. Our soldiers are modern day heroes and they should be treated that way. Please always keep them in your prayers. Now, if you missed any of the show today, you can go to the website at www.financialframeworkshow.com. That's www.financialframeworkshow.com. Look in the top right-hand corner for the login button, and in there you'll see the WGAA radio section. Each week's broadcast is archived there for you to go back and listen to whenever you have time. Don't forget, next week you can catch a Financial Framework show on Wednesday at 3:05 p.m. Get your questions ready and let's talk them over. And don't forget, I'll be at the Rolling Hills Baptist Church on February 27th at 11 a.m. Come out and spend some time with me. I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Next week will be a good show, and I'm looking forward to talking to you. Until next Wednesday, be safe in your travels, and may God bless.